A few opportunities before we get into a homily. If you are new or first-time guest, welcome to Marina Christian Fellowship. We're more than happy to have you worship with us. I would encourage all of you guys to fill out your connection card, and that's how we can stay connected this week. If you're a first-time guest, we'll send you a small gift for giving us all your personal info there. I still remember the deep fear that gripped me when I was asked to speak at my sixth grade graduation. You know, I always thought that Mrs. McDaniels was a tough teacher, and I always knew she kind of had it in for me. My parents loved her because she was strict, and she gave a lot of homework, and she was tough. But when she asked me to stand in front of the school, in front of kids, in front of parents, man, I just knew she went nuclear on me. I just knew it. So I was assigned a mentor to help me with my speech. He was a retired man. I'm going to assume he was retired, older guy. And I distinctly remember his wrinkled hands and his wrinkled face always prompting me with encouragement and an assurance that I could do this, that I could overcome my fear of giving this speech. On our last visit, he gave me two silver dollars to keep in my pocket. If you get nervous or become afraid, reach into your pocket and remember that you can do this. Now, I don't know if those were his exact words, but that's what I walked away with. I don't know if you've noticed this, but if you've seen me speak before, you've probably caught me reach into my pockets to this day. At 11 or 12, I'm going to guess that's how old I was in sixth grade, I knew how cruel kids could be. I knew how teasing and laughing could easily lead to a nickname or a label, or worse yet, being outcast and relegated to the loser and weirdo crowd. And I knew that if you were not part of the cool kids, which I totally was not, the next best thing for you is to remain somewhere in between the cool kids and that uncool kid crowd, somewhere in this unnoticeable middle. That was the best thing for you. So being asked to speak in front of the whole school, man, that was the complete opposite of my whole game plan. I wanted to remain invisible. That was how, you know, you got through school. See, it's going in my pocket. I wasn't always afraid to speak in front of people. Now, there's a picture of me. Did we get the picture? That's me. I was maybe seven, 8 years old. I was speaking in front of our church. You can see my excitement, my confidence, standing tall in my three-piece suit. That's my dad. That was my dad's signature. He loved to dress us up. I looked good. I sounded good. Man, I was the it that morning. Move over, preacher. Give me that mic. All right, you can take the picture. Our gospel lesson for this morning is one of those that the first time you read it, man, it can be kind of troubling. You're going like, oh, praise God, I think. You know, that's a harsh, harsh text. So perhaps it's best for us to begin with what this story is not about. Let's start there. This story is not really about money. or wise investments, or what to do with your God-given talents. I'm going to say that this story is more, or it's not about scaring you into doing more for the church or doing more for God. I'm going to say that this story is about knowing. It is a story of those who have been released of the curse of fear and are now free to know, to love, and to trust God. And as a result of that knowing, they live their lives free to give away love and grace and compassion and kinship and peace and joy. I think that good spirituality will always reshape how you view God. Good spirituality will almost always recalibrate your knowing of who God really is. And as a result of this new knowing, it will create in us an eagerness to give away our peace. And though that sounds contrary, to give away our joy, our love, our kindness, our patience, yes, even ourselves to others. I think religious thinking almost always portrays God as a harsh judge, kind of like an inspector, a heartless master whose only concern is our performance, your behavior. This only creates fear and often uncertainty in us. And more often than not, it turns us inward into a place of hiding and keeping to ourselves what we have because of fear. And just like I did in the sixth grade, we simply cannot trust this type of God. We're gripped with fear, and instead of living in the freedom of who God made us to be and the gifts that we carry, the talents that you have, we often can allow fear to paralyze us. I kind of wish that older man would have said one thing, and then he would have been really, really wise. I wish he would have told me, because now I realize this. Hey, Reuben, or kid, you're never going to see these people ever again. Because I've never run into anybody. So go at it. Who cares? See, that would have been like, you're right, buddy. Never going to see these people again. I think that would have taken care of a lot of the fear. Remember the initial reaction that Adam and Eve had right after they ate of the fruit? Something changed. It changed how they saw themselves, how they saw each other. But what really changed is how they saw God. When Adam hears the footsteps of God approaching, he hides. He hides. And God is calling out, Adam, where are you? Adam, where are you? I'm right here. Well, why are you hiding? I was afraid. I was naked. I was afraid, so I hid. That's the curse of sin. The way we see ourselves, the way we see each other, the way we see God. I think what's happening in this story, Jesus is telling his audience, the kingdom of God will be like, it will be like people who are free of this curse now, who are no longer afraid of him, who are no longer hiding, who are now free, as Adam was before he ate, to be stewards, to be co-workers with God. Perhaps the curse of sin is that instead of knowing God as one that seeks community and kinship, intimacy, and who longs deeply for our presence, we know God as wanting to see his beloved creation live in fullness. That's what he desires deeply. Instead, we often see him as what this story portrays, or how this last third slave saw the master as this harsh man. In sixth grade, I wanted so badly to run and hide. I was afraid of my peers. I was afraid I would embarrass myself. I was afraid I would freeze and feel the weight of the audience on my shoulders. I felt this way because I did not know them. I didn't trust them. I wasn't really assured of their love for me. You know, I still get nervous. Often, I have nightmares, the nights leading to me speaking. In my dreams, I either forget my notes, or I show up and it's a different venue. The worst nightmare is I'm here and one of our upper-ups shows up, the bishop shows up unannounced, and all of a sudden I have the head of the denomination sitting here. And that happens to me still. The worst moment for me, of course, is when I'm sitting there and Angela or the worship leader is about to finish and they give me that look. You're up. I don't know if you caught me right now. I was looking at my heart rate, and man, it was like 100 something. So I'm like, okay, I'm not making this up. This is real. This is happening. But you know why I can come up and stand here? It's not so much my confidence, because my heart rate's still up. It's that I trust you. I trust that your love for me goes far beyond how I do up here. I trust that you will have grace for me if I freeze or lose my place or don't make sense. And I have trust because I know you. And I love you, and I know that you love me back. The fear usually dissipates within seconds. I get comfortable. And something very weird happens. I stop being an introvert for 15, 20 minutes. And I stop being shy and quiet. And I become that little boy without the three-piece suit. There he goes. I feel alive, and I feel present, and I feel like this is what I was made to do. Like this is what I was created for. Then, you know, the week after or a few days later, I hear from some of you how you were impacted or how beneficial it was to hear me or how it made a difference. And then I say to myself, well, I'm glad I overcame my fear because I was able to help somebody. And I realize that in giving away this thing that I have, this gift or this talent, I see it multiplied at increase and increase. And I think that is how the kingdom works. It expands only when we dare to give away what we have. And we enter into this joy of the Master as we live into our healed and whole beings. I see this when we serve at SPY. I see us as a family serving these homeless youth. And I call them our homeless youth because that's what they are. They belong to us. I see it when I pick up food from some of you guys. There's this joy that we have in giving away what we have, what our resources, what we made. I see it when we do Angel Tree every year. The kingdom of heaven will be like this. Men and women will be broken of the curse that creates fear and causes them to hide from God. And they will live in such a way that they will find, they find their joy and purpose in giving away what is most precious to them. Peace, hope, love, joy. Because they know that in living this way, it brings great joy to the Master. It is in the knowing of God's love, not in our heads and our doctrines, but in our hearts. It is this love that casts out all fear. Men and women, and even kids have an amazing, as you can see, talent or way of doing this. Men and women that know above all that they will always belong to God. That God's love for them is unbreakable and unending and never based on performance or being good enough to earn it. I think the good news of the gospel lesson that we read is that God is knowable. That he is good and loving and that he has broken this curse for us. Let us paint a picture of Marina Christian Fellowship where together we will not live in fear or hiding, but we will live in this freedom where we can give away the talents, the gifts to others. We will be a place where we help each other recalibrate our view of who God is, so that we can begin to love and trust him and in the process become free to give blessings to his world. Let us become the people of God living in excitement, in confidence, standing tall in our polyester three-piece suits. Let us be a church that looks good, sounds good, and are the it in the eyes of the Creator. Grace and peace are yours always. As you overcome fear and you step into your gifts, and as you share them and give them away, you will experience the delight and the joy of the living God. Amen.